Bora, 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 bora.
Hi, it's Black Girls Laughing. We're here for another episode where we give you the dope takes on current events. What is up with this, like, cross and, like, you're like, yo, yo, yo?
Because you said the dope takes. So I'm in my dope pose for the dope takes.
All right.
I'm getting dope so I can give the dope takes.
All right. Let me get dope, too, then. I'm going to do my Wonder Woman pose.
Did you go see it?
I did see it. I saw it over the weekend. One of my good friends from... who I used to create art with, and he went off to graduate school and is now a consultant, blah, blah, blah. We went, he's from Colorado Springs, so I met up with him in Denver, because he was, like, visiting family, and we saw that. And it was fine.
Guess what?
That's about, what?
I saw it.
You saw it? What'd you think of it?
One, I was surprised that I went to see it so soon.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever go to the movies, but I get out of work early now, so I was like, I'm going to take myself on a first week of work date to the movies. So I went and saw Wonder Woman by myself Friday at like 2:45, and there was like 5 people in the theater, and I think they, like, it was visually, it was beautiful. Like, they did so well with that. Honestly, my first critique was, you're going to tell me she spent her whole life on an island of Amazonian women and she's straight?
Oh, well, yeah. That... yeah, that was... Yeah.
Like, the first time she sees a penis, she's like, yeah, this is great. I want that.
Yeah, you would think there would be, like, some confusion, a little, like, hesitation or a little bit, but it was just sort of like, yeah, dick, woo. It just seemed a little too fast.
I'm not. And then, you know, people are like, well, the creator, director, whoever, somebody said she's actually bi. And I'm like, y'all gotta stop saying these people are bi or queer or gay. And not
and
give
have
us
nothing
the,
in it.
Yeah, like, don't. That's like when J.K. Rowling said Dumbledore was gay, and I was like, where? Show me. I need, you're making money, you're making these movies, you need to show me the gay storyline. Because saying someone's gay is nothing. Gay people want to see themselves represented. So I want to see the gay storyline. I want to see Dumbledore with the man. Or falling in love with the man. I want to see it with my own 2 brown eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just very underwhelmed with Wonder Woman. I thought it was beautiful. I thought, like, yeah, I could go chill on this island of all women. This is dope. That was ill. But as soon as the dude showed up, I felt like I was watching a Disney movie. It didn't really, like, push it in any way. Like, does she really have to be surprised with snow? And just, like, basic stuff. Like, I was like, I'm done with that, like, fish out of water. Like, watch it. Like, it felt like I was, like, it was the Little Mermaid. Like, Wonder Woman got the Little Mermaid treatment in a lot of ways. And it's not, and that's not as feminist as everyone's acting like it is. It's pretty basic, you know, heteronormative tropes in film. It's just... It was just basic, like, and it was boring. There were just times that it was just, like, slow. I was like, can we get to another fight? I am tired of these two giving each other, like, googly eyes. I do not care. Clearly, they don't end up together. It's, like, so, like, let's let it be.
Yeah, I always forget that. Yeah, I mean, there are some things, like, inherently with the story of Wonder Woman in general, and, like, the time period it was created, and blah, 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 that I'm always, have always been, just been like, really? Like, she found her true strength from the love of a man? That was it?
Love was the answer the entire time.
She couldn't have found it from, like, love of herself or, like, love of her people. It had to be a man. Anyway. Yep. It was beautiful to look at, but literally right after I saw it, something else came out, and I was like, Wonder Woman who?
Yeah, well, that was, like, the day before, and I was like, oh, I'm seeing Wonder Woman tomorrow, and that's not going to be it, so it kind of, like, ruined it.
Yeah. I saw Wonder Woman before it came out, so
you don't know. Didn't have to have the...
No.
Have those feelings.
I just was like, what movie did I just go see? I don't know that movie. I don't know her.
I'm just excited. I'm happy that the movie is doing well and that hopefully we'll have more strong female protagonists coming out of this. We'll have more female directors because Patty Jenkins directed Wonder Woman. It's already had, like, I saw this one data point that it's, of all of the superhero movies, it had, like, the lowest decrease in the box office in, like, week two than, like, all the Spider-Mans and Iron Mans and Avenger movies. Like, people are still showing up to see this movie out at past the opening weekend. So, that's cool. I'm ready for Wonder Woman 2. This time without the dude and let her be strong to be strong.
Agreed.
And like bring Robin right. Oh, I'm gonna have a spoiler. Never mind.
Yeah.
Robin Wright was, I enjoyed just seeing her beautifulness. I loved all the Amazonian women. They were just beautiful, just like stunning.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Exactly then, how you would picture her.
I would have saw some bigger breasts and some bigger butts. They were pretty all...
This is like, Hollywood.
They were still like pretty straight up and down. Yeah, I know. But they could have... Where was... At least to show me the diversity of body types, I didn't see... Like, where was like the grandmother body? Like, I didn't see her.
Amazons, you know? Don't age, Brittany.
Is that true? They don't age at all.
They're like the ideal women.
Well, the ideal woman could have a gut and could have a butt.
So. We're talking Eurocentric beauty standards, ideal woman. You don't get that.
Well, it would be a better movie for 2017 if they at least had, I don't know, just like, you know, the short, stocky, strong Amazonian person, like, you know.
Aren't Amazons, I don't know about anything else, but I think that's the one thing they have to be, is tall.
Okay, well, maybe I don't understand the lore, all right, but.
Yeah, I'm like, I think Amazonian women are supposed to be, like, perfect.
Which, okay, well, we can expand on what perfect is.
I agree. That's not my definition of perfect, but I think that's the basis behind it. The lore. Yeah, the folklore behind Amazonian women. But I think the one thing they do inherently have to be is
tall. Okay.
Because you're an Amazon...
I mean, I get it. Like, when I was little, I remember when I went back home after when I moved from Houston to Boston, came back to see my friend, and I came back and, you know, I went in full bloom hormones, so I looked like a completely different girl. And my friend's like, you look like an Amazon. You're like 100 feet tall now, and you've got these breasts. They were like, you know, mosquito bites, but she was like, when did you turn? So I get that she should be, it should be tall, but I think she could, there could be someone that was strong and round. You could be, you know, enjoys the soup that they didn't even show them eating. Do they even eat? Maybe they won't even eat.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing her. I don't remember seeing her put like a piece of rice next to her lip. Like,
she did drink a beer, though.
She did drink a beer. Well, she's a fun girl. She made sure that we know that Wonder Woman's fun.
God. Anyway, let's
she move can on. Hang with the dudes.
Let's move on from Wonder Woman. It wasn't good enough to talk about it that long.
It wasn't that good. Oh. All right, well, let's, like, that wasn't really the John. Here, let's go really into the John.
Oh, my Lord. All right.
All right, let's do it.
I'll kick it off with an eye roll. So, if you've been on Twitter, and if you pay attention to art or theater, or if that's your kind of thing, then I'm sure you've seen that Delta Airlines and Bank of America have pooled their funding from the public theater. If you don't know, the public theater is where Hamilton got its start. It's where so many of your favorite shows started and then sold out and then moved to Broadway. So the public is technically an off-Broadway theater. Again, a lot of wonderful shows start there, move on to Broadway. They do free Shakespeare in the Park. They do a lot of really culture-based shows. I saw, I'm not going to remember it now, but the political figurehead, the woman who had like 1,000 shoes, and like that was what she was known for.
Oh, from like Thailand?
Yeah.
But
I saw there was an amazing interactive, like, disco-based musical on her story. And, I mean, all the actors were brown. Like, their cast was just all shades of brown. And it was awesome and beautiful. And this is the kind of programming that they're bringing. I won't cape that it's the most accessible, but I mean, if you want to see something like that and it's high quality, that the public is a place that I would suggest you go to in New York City. And they are doing currently Julius Caesar as part of their free Shakespeare series. They've been doing it for about 3 weeks now. It's been running, and as a lot of people are doing, they're taking this old text written by Shakespeare and they're putting it in modern times. I'm a huge Shakespeare nerd. I know Brittany likes Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
I love when it is adapted to modern times, because I think it gets shoved in our face in book form, in reading form, so much in school that people don't get to experience the power that it has until you see it performed. And I always tell everyone to please go see it performed, because I promise you will understand everything when you see it in actual action. So when it's put to modern day times, which you can do with every single Shakespeare play, because everything he wrote is still so relevant and still so pertinent, it's even better, because people can connect the dots. And when they do the old text and then the next line is modernized, I particularly really enjoy that, because that just helps connect the dots even more for people. So they are doing a modern adaptation of Julius Caesar, and apparently this Caesar resembles 45. So if you don't know the story of Julius Caesar, I mean, Stab Caesar, the Mean Girls reference should help you understand the context of what Julius Caesar is.
Kill Caesar!
Yeah. Everyone wants Caesar dead because Caesar's an asshole. But then also, other people are assholes. So, like, everyone's an asshole, but they want Caesar dead because he's the one in charge. So, you know, people that cape for 45, like the alt-right, caught wind that this play was happening and wrote all of this BS, including Fox News, saying that they're doing this show, that they're, you know, trying to kill Donald Trump via the show. It's depicting Trump being assassinated by women and minorities. They posted this and then went back and went, oh yeah, by the way, it's Julius Caesar. Oh yeah, by the way, we forgot to add that it's actually by Shakespeare. After they posted that article. So Delta first announced that they were ending their sponsorship of the public theater. And then Bank of America decided to follow suit and posted on Twitter that had they known that this was the type of show it was, that they wouldn't have funded it, and didn't just pull their funding from the show, but from the public theater altogether. Completely pulled their funding.
Oh, so just like mess up their fiscal year. Well, like mess up all their budget planning for next year. Like,
yeah. Make them. I mean, I do think that the public, especially once people remember or realize that Hamilton came from there, that the money that is in New York, I think,
as they're gonna crazy be all as right. it sounds, yeah.
can like fill the gap. And I think a lot of people, especially now that they see this happen, will be able to fill the gap. Like, millions.
It's a gift in the end of the day to their development team, because, like, well, in some ways.
Well, that's what. This story is interesting, and it makes me think of, like, when people got mad about Donald Trump pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement, and suddenly they were finally saying something. And it's like, oh, so like minorities and women and healthcare and all of these other things, you do nothing. But for the climate agreement, you do something. And it's like Bank of America funds most of the GOP and the Dakota Access Pipeline. And like, who cares about your access to clean water? But the second someone falsely reports that they're trying to have women and minorities kill Donald Trump in a play that isn't real, you're going to pull your funding. So
that isn't about Donald Trump.
It's yeah. called
Julius Caesar.
It's called Julius Caesar. And then to add fuel to like the ridiculous fire, about 5 years ago, the Guthrie did Julius Caesar with Barack Obama. Look, oh. a Barack Obama looking character, like it was a black man as Julius yeah. Caesar. Like,
and they killed him.
Modernized. And they
had no issue suits, with that.
Absolutely no issue. And the Guthrie is one of the biggest. Like, if you're not New York, you're in the Midwest, you're not all the way out the West Coast. Like, the Guthrie is where you go. The Guthrie is huge. They have a humongous campus. They get so much funding. None of their funding got pulled. Like, everyone, no one said anything about the Obama Julius Caesar. So this is just, as an artist, really both not surprising but still disheartening. I mean, Bank of America and Delta both fucking blow in their own right. That came out really crashed, but that's like, they are. They're awful. So like, at the end of the day, no longer having strings from them, from the public theater, I think, in this game that we're fighting of trying to keep funding for the arts, is good for people that want nothing to do with them, that have buying power. And there's a lot more people like that coming out. So, you know, I have a lot I could say as an artist, but like, it would not fit in one show, honestly.
Yeah, I'm shocked that, I mean, I'm not shocked that a company, like, had that knee-jerk reaction, didn't do any damn research on the damn show. Just, it's just like, why don't people just care about facts anymore? Like, why didn't they talk to anyone that's a part of their, you know, you know, corporate responsibility team. That was, they don't give money willy-nilly. They know, like, they knew exactly what they were funding. They knew that they were funding Julius Caesar, Shakespeare in the damn park. Come on now. Like, that's just, like, I think it's just, for that, for them to lose funding and Bill Maher to still have a job, like, it just shows how effed up our priorities are and that we can't have any type of discourse about our political climate without it becoming, without people losing money.
I mean,
or caping in the wrong way, or it's just
funny that people like lose money for doing this play that has no real impact in like a physical way. Like, women and minorities aren't gonna turn around and go out and kill Donald Trump.
Nope.
Like, no matter how much we may want to. But, you know, liberals and artists are the ones who need safe spaces. And, like, right?
Yeah.
Like, we need to be politically, we want everyone to be politically correct and not say it like it, and we can't handle when people just say it like it is.
But we can't say it like it is. Again, it only matters to those people who's saying what, when, and how it is in agreement with their paradigm of the world. Like, it's the most against free speech in the end of the day. But the public's going to do fine. Those people are going to come back, and it's going to be huge.
Yep.
Just in the same way that it's been huge for people to, for development offices, for Trump to say that they're going to cut the NEA and the NEH, you know, I get all of those emails. Everyone's been capitalizing on that inside of their organizations. But what's nerve-wracking is this idea that us people are going to have to make up for public goods that should be subsidized by the country that we pay taxes to.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is what's going on in that part of the art world.
Did you watch the Tonys?
I did not.
I did. I was bored to death.
I haven't been, the only show that I've really wanted to see that's been on Broadway is Waitress, and that's only because I love Sarah Bareilles and I think that she would be wonderful in a musical. So I want to see her in a musical, and that's it. I mean, I already missed the shows I wanted to see, like Fun Home. I wanted to see that. I wanted to see the Lupita show, but I missed that. So, like,
yeah, and that was like last year's Tonys.
Is there something that I'm missing that has come out recently that would?
The show that was the most interesting, that I was like, okay, I want to go see this or at least listen to the album, was Dear Evan Hansen.
I knew you were gonna say that because everyone said that.
Because I was like, oh, what is this? And Ben Platt can sing. And Ben Platt was like the nerdy boy in Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like, I'm not even really sure what the show's about, but the music was strong. And so I was like, okay, I can go check this out because it's definitely hitting all of the things that I like about musical theater. It's definitely like a music, like, yeah. it's definitely for the people that love musical theater. If you weren't already in love with musical theater, I doubt you'd be down for it. And then hearing what's his nuts, Josh Groban, sing that other show, which is sort
of
like
The Great Comet.
The Great, is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's like the short version.
I was like, is this Fiddler on the Roof again? Like, what is this? I was very confused.
Are they Russian? I have a friend that works in PR for that show. So she's told me the whole synopsis. I unfortunately cannot
remember.
But, yeah. I think they're Russian.
Yeah, it looked like if you, like, the guy, like, what, Josh Groban had on, it looked very much like what Tevye wears. So, like, it's definitely, like, Russian Jewish, like, people from a Russian Jewish faith. Like, and whatever happened with them inside of Russia, it's like, about that in some way. Because it had those feelings about it. And so, and like Josh Groban has a you know, an amazing voice. It was great to see him like do his thing.
Did they win anything?
No, because Ben Platt and like Dear Evan Hansen was like the winner. I mean, they were trending on Twitter like as soon as it started, like with that show. So, And it was, like, also, like, the spoof of the beginning of the show. Like, they did, like, a parody of it, which I had no idea. I thought it was the mysterious incident. I was like, oh, are they doing that? I was like, isn't that, like, 2 years ago, though? Like, that doesn't make any sense. But, no, it's... Because it's, like, not to conflate, like, autism and just in being awkward, but I feel like there is something going on, like... There's something I don't know what the story is of Dear Evan Hansen, but it's definitely about someone who feels marginalized based off of who they are, and I think it has something to do with the mental handicap, but I am not sure because I did not read anything about it. But the music was great, and Ben Platt was doing a lot of acting in his singing and like. To like show the quirks and the awkwardness of this character in a satisfying way. That was like, okay, let me check this out. But it was so weird to watch the Tonys and have like no black people come out and sing songs except for Cynthia and Ben, what's his name? I want to call him Ben. Who the hell is Ben? John Legend. They sang some, I don't remember what, they sang something for something. It wasn't for a show. It was just sort of like, and we're gonna have these black people come out and sing real quick for some reason. Oh, they sing like New York, New York or something. I feel like there was like kick line dancers or something. Like the Rockettes were there. I was like, why are the Rockettes there? They just need to have more brown people be a part of the show, and that was like the biggest thing that I was noticing is like apparently Kevin Spacey, who hosted it, was like the 100th person they asked, and everyone else said no. And I'm wondering how many people of color they asked. So like he did this whole bit where he was like talking to like past hosts of like important shows, and they were all white except for Whoopi Goldberg, and like. And I was just like, wow, it would have been really cool if you brought some of your young talent. Like, everyone that was in Hamilton last year could have hosted.
Yeah.
And I would have been, like, all for it. And that's what they should do next year. Like, let's not have Lin-Manuel Miranda only come out to give out Best Musical at the end. Let him be a part of the whole damn show.
For real.
Like... You want to keep them ratings up. Like, no one's watching House of Cards right now. No one cares about Kevin Spacey.
Everyone's watching House of Cards now.
Are you watching it? Because I watched, like, 2 episodes of it, and I was bored. And I was like, nah, I don't need this.
Everyone's watching House of Cards now.
Yeah. It was weak. It's been weak to me. And Orange is the New Black.
I didn't watch it.
Don't watch it. I just think that it's so bad. It's just so bad. And it just like it's so hard for it to be like try to be like earnest and caring about things, but then be this comedy inside of a prison. So you're gonna get a lot of things wrong, and it just keeps on getting shit wrong left and right. And it's just terrible. Anyways, not even on the docket for us to talk about. Sorry about that tangent. So, today we're recording, it's June 12th. And June 12th, for many people, is Loving Day. And it was a big day today because it was the 50th anniversary of the Loving versus Virginia case and the ruling from the Supreme Court that officially legalized interracial marriage in the United States 50 years ago in the 60s. Yeah. So people are, you know, are making a... I felt like last year was also an anniversary year for the Loving case, so maybe it was when the first time it was brought to Virginia, or... But this year is, like, the real, like, 50th anniversary of it. I am in an interracial marriage, so this, you know, is a big deal that, you know, 50 years ago my marriage would not have been legal. Yeah. And there's a lot of general conversation about it, because as a nation, we've moved forward pretty quickly when it comes to interracial marriages. Now, I think that in the last census report or whatever, one of the last times they've checked about the rates of interracial marriage, now 1 in 6 marriages is an interracial marriage. Compared to, I think it was like 1995, it was like only 3% or 8% of marriages were interracial marriages. It was like a very low percentage, and we've just continued to grow. But as, you know, as a nation, we become more separated, as racial segregation in terms of access to opportunities, to land and, living opportunities, work opportunities are pretty much staying the same. We're more okay with people getting married and having babies or not. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence that we're okay with it, because I still get looks when I'm walking with my husband sometimes, and I am constantly nervous about the future of me having children with my husband. What new bullshit that's going to bring to my life. So yeah, I don't know. It's good to note that today is this day. You must have some feelings, B.
Well, 50 years ago today, my existence was legalized?
Well, I mean, yes, it was legalized.
Well, in terms of my parents, my dad's black, so literally my existence without the lynching and or killing of my father, without a sound trial, quote sound, was legalized. It's kind of a bummer that I've never paid attention to this day or didn't really know about it until I was an adult. One of the many ways that the education system failed me, because that's something that would be important to know as a biracial child. And in particular context of recalling being told I didn't know enough about my people when I was younger, or wasn't doing enough to learn about my people when I was younger, it's particularly a bummer to not have ever learned about this day from the people that said that to me. So I was pretty much failed all around when it comes to this day and learning about it. But it's really cool. I mean, I went to the Asian Arts Initiative and they have an exhibition about it, and a lot of the work is about different types of interracial relationships, which we always see black and white, but I think it's really important to talk about the other ones too. And I guess in particular with the Asian Arts Initiative, it's really cool to see how their relationships with an Asian partner and then a partner of another race, how that intersects. And a lot of the work was an Asian person and a Black partner, which is always very interesting to me since there is a lot of racism in both communities towards each other. So that's always interesting to learn more about. And then they have like this one part where it's just like all books, and they have like all these books that talk about this, and I'm like, again, I was failed.
Where did all these books come from?
So I'm like sitting there like taking pictures of all the covers and like writing down the titles, and it's really cool. I mean, I freaking love the Asian Arts Initiative. They always do cool stuff. So yeah, I have feelings about it. About some people that have posted things, because, you know, like Black women that favor Black men that favor white women because Black women aren't XYZ or are XYZ.
The icky and the gross that come from this.
Like, there's so much icky and gross that like you can't, there can never just be anything good. There always has to be, white supremacy has always made it so that even the days that could be like, yeah, someone's got to come in and say something racist or sexist or misogynistic or just awful. So I don't ever celebrate this day. I don't know. I mean,
is it something really to sell? It's something to acknowledge.
Yeah.
I wonder if I will do something with my children in the future.
I think it's important to, teach them, since I didn't get taught. But think about it. And, like, when you guys listen to it, like, think about it in the context of how I said it. Because I said it the way I said it for a reason. 50 years ago today, my existence was legalized. 50 years ago. That's it. My parents aren't even 50.
Your parents aren't even 50?
No.
Oh, wow.
My parents are not 50. So this happened, but they're like on the cusp. So what was it? 5 years before my dad was born? Four years before my dad was born. And 5 before my mom was born. That's crazy. Wow. That's crazy. That's insane. So yeah, I guess loving day to all my biracial kids and interracial couples out there.
Yeah, I'm just like looking at the ads that are being promoted to me as I'm looking at an article about this. One was for Carol's daughter, and it had like some white girl with curly hair and a Black girl with curly hair.
Please stop.
And then now it's like, you ready to have a baby? TJ Maxx is ready for you.
Okay. Moving on.
Let's move on. What else we got going on? Oh, so, there's lots of anniversaries today.
Yes. So along with it being Loving Day, today is the 1 year anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting. So I don't know. I'm not gonna go into like all of the details, because everyone that is listening to this hopefully listen to the episode, because I know we did one right after this happened.
We totally did.
And you all seem to be very aware people that listen to the show from what we gather from social media. And you keep listening to us after all the stuff we've said. So I'll just go with 49 people died at the Pulse nightclub from the shooting. But most important is that this shooting targeted queer Latinx people in this club. It was targeted. It was based on sexuality and race. the shooting was targeted. And I thankfully, I feel like usually when we talk about stuff that we see on Facebook from like what our friends post, I still somehow have not filtered out all the garbage, but I must be doing very well lately, because a lot of the posts that I saw people sharing were about, like, we should remember this, but most importantly, we should remember that this shooting targeted the queer Latinx community. Mm-hmm. So, the Mike Network, Mike.com, did this amazing piece about Q Latinx, an organization that has been really gathering and creating a community for the queer Latinx, Orlando's queer Latinos, queer Latinx community, since the shooting, and really doing a really good job to focus on queer people of color in Orlando. It's a 60-member organization, and they want to empower queer people of color to become leaders and representatives of their community. And this is amazing. I mean, there's another article that was out that's from a man who's a survivor of the shooting, who now has a, I believe, like a community center. And then I saw this.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Beautiful photo shoot of survivors from the shooting. And I'm really glad that the conversation that this was targeted is continuing. I mean, as always, there's whitewashing happening outside, but I have been missing it, and I will continue to miss it and ignore it and act like it doesn't exist, because there is important work being done, and I'm going to focus on the good, important work that's being done. So I encourage you to read about all of the work that has spiraled out of this tragedy, all of the people that have found each other, and found a community, to remember the shooting, and also to continue to build safe places for the community in Orlando, and to take a moment and to reflect and remember that this tragedy happened only a year ago, and we still have a lot of work to do.
I mean, shit's just gotten worse.
Okay.
I mean, like,
I'm not disagreeing. I was just trying not to talk about that.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm. It's crazy that it's been a year.
Yeah. So, yeah. Take a moment, take a breath, take a breather, and think about that.
It's crazy that so many people have done so many great things in this year, and that the people that were victims of this are able to do so much, but our politicians haven't done anything to prevent something like this from happening again.
No, why would they?
Yeah, it's just sad. Well, good to the people who are actually making things happen. Gotta love that people power.
People power. All right, I say we move on from the John.
Let's. Bye, John. All right. Let's do a You Better Work. It's time for a little story. I dealt with not my first microaggression, but an incident at work that was enough for me to, like, need to talk about it. And enough for me to make a, to talk to my boss about it. The other day we were doing our, some of the, one of our fun traditions of having a shot of vodka together. You know, we're having our fun time. And the subject of tans came up. And I, as a dark-skinned woman, I've never, ever liked the conversation of tans. Because it usually ends up with some BS of someone saying something stupid about how they're almost as dark as me, or they could be as dark as me if they tried, or some bullshit like that. So this girl, it came up with the subject of tans and how much people tan. And this one girl, she tans pretty well. And her sister lives in Florida. And one of the people was like, oh, she lives in Florida? Wow, and she tans like you. Is she as dark as Britney? Like, trying to, like, make it a joke? And there was an... I was relieved because there was some audible gasps of like, what the hell did this chick just say? So I was like, okay, you, everyone that gave good side, gave an, a side eye, stopped, was like, what the F, what's going on? You guys are people that I'm like, okay, you guys understand something. But then other people just sort of didn't even notice the comment. But then she also noticed that, oh, she effed up. So, and I, you know, I was like, what are you saying? Why would you say something like that? What is the joke you're trying to say here? Because it's failing. And she immediately apologized, recognized what was wrong with what she said, and it was fine for that moment. But today I came in and I talked to my boss, and I was going to have this be something I was going to ask a friend about, and we were going to talk about it yesterday, but since we're recording on a Monday after my one-on-one with my boss, I had to just go in and say what went, what happened. And I was happy because my boss took it very well, had the right amount of concern. And I took it as a opportunity to address it, like, hi, you guys think you guys are great and that you guys don't need diversity training and that you guys are sensitive, awesome people, but this is an example of how this, how everyone needs to go through implicit bias training. They need to go, they need to talk about race in the workplace, and that we need to have, begin these conversations here, especially if we want to be up to speed. Like, just to be a normal, like, to be an extraordinary organization. If we believe that we are an extraordinary organization in terms of being sensitive, thought-provoking supporters of the arts. I'm intrigued because there is a call of work. And I was also really proud of myself. So I also shared some articles with my boss for him specifically because he really wants to champion this work, this work for social and racial equity in the arts. And I've sent him some articles about how to be a good ally as a white man. And what it means for him to show up as a white man for this work. And he was very responsive. So, out here trying to be brave.
I'm proud of you.
Like, you know, not let shit slide. Because it's hard to do. And I even said to my boss, I was like, you know, it's hard for me to talk about these things in this organization because I don't know where anyone's coming from here. Compared to my last work, or like my last work relationship, like I understood that most of the people in this space was trying to be better and recognize that there are problems, that there are systemic issues with the way our society works. Here, I don't know. I don't know. Because in many ways it looks like a utopia because it's an organization led by a lot of women, But, you know, we all know how much we question white women and their intentions in their life, so.
Rightfully so.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, I mean, I know that if for anyone that's listening to this, this will not necessarily be your experience where something like that would happen to you. You can address it, and additional action could happen from it. But it's nice to recognize when something stupid happens and it doesn't lend to more stupidity, and it actually leads to some future action. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen. The story will be told. I will let you guys know how things progress as that weirdly that one stupid comment coupled with people going to some important conferences this last week that also talked a lot about equity, inclusion, and diversity. The coupling of a bad experience for me and people getting some education could lead to some change. So, yeah. So that's why you better work.
Tackle those microaggressions.
Yeah, don't... I mean... I even talked to her again today, and I was like, I really need you to recognize what was wrong.
Please.
And like, I really need you to recognize what's wrong here. And then I also went and I talked to the people who were also disturbed by what was said to just let them know that, like, I saw that. Like, I saw that you were disturbed, and I appreciate that. From you, because again, it's about to get real hard at my organization when we start having those conversations. I
mean, they were disturbed, but did anyone say anything?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, like as a quote ally, that is the perfect time to be like, no.
Yeah.
Just no.
My bar is so low for them that I was just...
Yeah.
Yeah. And it sucks.
I challenge you to raise your bar.
Oh, I am raising my bar with them, and I'm going to continue to raise the bar as I... Yeah, it's tough. I feel like I have to. There's this feeling that I have with myself that I can't raise the bar unless I know that they've gotten any education about it. That they're like, I don't know.
I guess my where I'm coming from to say raise the bar is that if you're going to claim this. If you're going to claim to be an ally, if you're going to claim to be woke, if you're going to claim to be XYZ, then you don't get a pat on the back for doing subpar work. You don't get a pat on the back for saying you're the marketing manager at your job and you don't do your job.
Yeah, I mean, again... None of the people that were in that space has claimed to want to be an ally or to be an ally. I don't even know why I'm feeling like I'm caping for them right now. I'm not. They can do better. They can do better. They can all do better. I'm recognizing of the people that, and what I'm seeing as a black person that has to go to this work, into this workspace, the people that seemed... The one person that was actually the most upset, I see a allyship between her. Even, I don't even know anymore. Like, I was surprised. I was happy with that one person saw a problem and vocalized their vocalized that wrongness of that statement. All at that in that time, in that period, So I know that I can look to her when we're looking at, when we start doing this work more, when we've talked more about this work. She's, yeah, I don't know. It gets so tricky.
You'll figure it out.
When you have to talk about diversity, equity, like, now I have to talk about diversity, equity, inclusion at work now, again, where I haven't had to do it for, like, 6 months, and, it was a struggle at my last job. It was a struggle at my last job. And it was a struggle internally for myself with the way that I speak about race and how I change the way that I speak about race when I'm in a workspace for the sensitivity of white people. Whew. And I don't want to do that with these white people. Because I didn't have to do it too much at the last job. I was pretty frank in the last space when I needed to be frank. And I'm nervous that I won't be frank here.
Yeah.
And then that will affect the effectiveness of, like, whatever work is going to happen. So I have, like, I have this major mental roadblock to like, get through about how I want to talk about, how I want to talk about whiteness. Because I have no problem talking about my blackness, but when it comes to talking about whiteness and white supremacy and the backlash that a person can get when they talk about it for real, real, and, you know, drop out the euphemisms of diversity, equity, inclusion, and talk about systemic racism. I mean, were you there? You weren't there. You weren't still working with me when I brought up white supremacy, and a white man was like, I don't like the word white supremacy. I like to talk about it as white privilege. And I'm like, you're not getting it. Like, you're not getting that these are, like, you just don't get it.
At all. Like,
oh, white privilege makes you feel better talking about these, about inequality. Oh, that's nice. But it comes from white supremacy and systemic racism. And you should not be afraid of those words.
You don't get to feel better.
And so, like, those are the things that I'm worried about. Because when white people come into this work, they only want to talk about it up here being diversity, equity, and inclusion, and not saying what's really going on, or not wanting to go to the correct place first. And for me, when you're talking about this work, it's to talk about systemic racism first, and then we'll get to, and then, and everything else roots from that.
Everything.
And people don't get that. And so you get white women that are like, well, let's talk about gender equality. And I'm like, when you talk about race, you get to gender equality too. Like,
white supremacy is the umbrella for everything. All of it.
It fuels sexism. It fuels white misogyny. It fuels it all.
It fuels everything. Well, I'm glad you said something. I will say that you don't have me now to be frank all the time.
Yeah, no, I have to be you
don't have
and
me, yeah.
At the same time.
You don't have me to be the jagged knife and you...
And me just be a serrated knife.
Yeah. I was going to say, you cut, but you cut clean. I cut and I cut dirty.
Oh. So, yeah, it's going to be, I don't know. And, like, I don't have another person of color really to, like, talk to about that, too. Because the other person of color in my office is a lot older than me. So we're going to have generational differences in terms of our understanding of race.
Or, like, what is expected in the workplace. Or mm-hmm. what
or what?
What you? What you're gonna put up with? Like she's gonna accept a lot more shit than I'm going to want to accept.
Yeah, I get that. I see where you're coming from with that.
Yeah.
Well, keep us all.
And I don't know. Maybe she'll surprise me. It's clearly off of what she puts off as a, like, yeah, and everything that she puts off reminds me of, you know, aunties, and they have very different ideas from me. So.
Yeah. Well, keep us updated.
I will.
Booch, booch, booch. All right, we gotta check it. We gotta you better work and check it. So like,
full house.
Your day is just gonna be the bestest. So I hinted at this check it, and full disclosure, I've started writing again. And even,
I saw your post.
Yes, and even wrote for the last check-it and had this beautiful photo to go with it of this beautiful black girl that just really, I feel like, is my ultimate aesthetic because it was like orange and flowers and just like beauty. And I was like, oh my God, I want this photo for everything I ever post. But anyway, so I hinted at this and I'm gonna repeat what I think I said last week or something close to it before I get into it. And it was stop going up to your friends or people you know and saying, oh, it looks like you're always doing something cool. So I know that some people are gonna listen to this and be like, but I like when people notice the things that I post on social media or like blah, 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 blah. And I don't think it's wrong to have your friends compliment, like, I saw you were shooting photography. It looks great. I saw you posted a selfie of your new haircut. You look awesome. It's even cooler in person. The dog you shared on your Insta story was so cute. Where did you see it? Yes. We should all be... Those are the kind of compliments we all want to hear. My problem with people saying it looks like you're always doing something cool stems personally, but then I notice it with other people. So I've had a lot of friends say that to me recently, and it makes me laugh because when they're saying this, I did not have a job and was doing things literally in hopes that I could stay alive in Philadelphia and not have to move home. Was really stressed, really depressed, frantic every day. My social anxiety was out of control. I just started therapy. But all you saw was my photography that I was shooting that I posted on Instagram. Photography I was shooting because I was like, I need to do something that makes me feel like I'm a human being with a life that is alive. And I can't afford to do anything else. And it's free to go out and use my own camera to shoot photos of the city and then upload them on the internet. And yeah, it looks really cool. My photography game was on point. I'm finally getting back into it, but just think about that. Like, you saw this, and then you were approaching me and saying, it looks like I'm always doing something cool. And part of it, I've been thinking about, like, well, is it my fault? Like, should I have been, like, even more vulnerable? Which is funny, because I think that I'm pretty frank on social media. Like, I'll post a great photography shot and then post a caption about how I'm depressed right below it. But I think where I'm coming from is, instead of saying something like that to your friends, why aren't you starting the conversation with, like, how are you doing? How are you? Did you eat today? Have you been drinking water? like, how's life? Like, don't, you're coming into it with an assumption. You're coming into it with a standard and a bar and a level of something unattainable that I now have to live up to. And that's not fair. It's not fair if I come up to you and say that too. And like, we all curate our social media to see only the best things. So why can't we take that knowledge and understanding? Like, I know you all think it when you're scrolling through Instagram of like, oh, this girl's posting another, she's on vacation again, when really she could have just taken like 3,000 vacation pictures. She curated them so they're gonna be posted throughout the year, so it looks like she goes on vacation a lot, but really she only went one time with her mom and dad and just took a lot of photos. So I am asking you guys to check how you come into conversations. What inherent pressure are we putting on each other as friends? And I know it's not coming from like an inherently harmful place, but we should be asking how we're actually doing now. Like, how are you doing? How the hell are you doing? And maybe someone will be like, oh, I've been waiting for someone to ask me that question because I have this really great thing I want to talk about. Or like, you're the friend that I've been wanting to talk about this really not great thing, or this awful thing, or this thing that made me sad, or this thing that made me think of you. So I'm encouraging us all to check that. Check what energy you're bringing. Check how we're pressuring each other. And then check in with each other. Like, that should be first. Hi, I missed you. How are you? How are you doing?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. People, we should talk about, we should check in with the person first, not with the activities or the perceived activities that we get from them. And I also want to just put this point that, like, I get that a lot too, of like, oh, it looks like you are just, I've been getting this since I've moved to Colorado, like, oh, you're just like living a Visit Colorado postcard right now. And I'm like, okay, you got some nice photo, you saw my nice photos of the hike I went on this weekend. And the way that you, sometimes the way that someone says that, it's almost, you can feel like the venom in the, and sometimes like the jealousy behind it. It's almost like it's a backhanded compliment. It's like, oh, you must think you're special because I saw all your pictures on social media and all those likes you got for those dope pics. You must think you're special. You must have so much fun. Like, and it's just sort of like, dude, chick, whoever, what is your issue? Are you happy for me?
Or not.
Or not. Like, because, like, the way that you're saying it doesn't seem like you're genuinely happy. And, like, and maybe you don't mean it in that way when you say it to some, when you say that to someone, like, ooh, you just do all the coolest shit. You might genuinely be like, I think you do cool shit. But you have to check the way that you say it to people. Or like, think about why, how you're saying it, or why you're saying it in that way, and check where it's coming from, because it might be coming from a place of jealousy. And like, jealousy is a valid emotion to have, but you need to understand why you're jealous before you project some bullshit onto someone else.
Because that is not my problem.
No,
or no one else's.
Especially if it's supposed to be your friend.
Yeah,
these people that you, it's supposed to be your homie. Why would you do that?
You should be caping for them. Like, hell yeah, my friends do cool shit. Why do you think I hang out with them? Because I want their cool to rub off on me.
You, I are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with? Like, you want the people that you chill with to be. I don't like that phrase.
Me neither, because I don't hang out with anybody.
I was like, I have about one and a half person. It's like, all right, so I am the sum of my husband and my friend that I talk on Skype with once a week.
Good thing I'm cool.
Yes. But also, sometimes you don't have a choice in the people that you're with.
No. You might spend a lot of time at work.
Oh, yeah, but also you might be of, maybe you're also being of service to family and friends in need. And just because you're going through this time of having to work with people, of helping with your family in need, now your self-worth has to go down?
No, thank you.
Like, no. And then that creates a feeling that you need to avoid people who need you. And that's not cool. Mm-hmm. And that's not even helpful for an individual to want to avoid that's not good. Yeah. To not want to help the people that you presumably care about, or you only want to be around people when they're at their best. Like, the best people are the ones that love people when they're at their height and when they're in the gutter. Like,
yeah, because I'm out here swimming through the gutter, y'all, so.
And I still hang out with you over Skype.
Exactly. Because you're a real one.
Yo, that's me.
All right.
Huh.
Well, I think, yeah, your point was important because I know we were coming from similar, but also different places with when I mentioned that last week, so I'm glad you added that perspective to it, especially the jealousy point, because that's also a big thing that we see, I think, mostly via Instagram. But, like, filters are amazing, y'all. You don't even know. So, yeah.
Don't project your FOMO onto me.
Yeah. And, like, just be checking in with your friends, like, how they are. Don't friggin' come check for what they're doing, unless it falls into how they are. Like, they're not doing anything because they're sad. And then, there, now they have a friend to talk about it with, and maybe they can find a solution or find an outlet. Just check in with your friend. Yeah. Check in with the human. Don't check in with the social media posts.
Awesome.
The end.
So, we're skipping Anxiety Corner this week, y'all.
Yeah. Feel like it's
all right. Yeah, we've been good and anxious for a solid month, so
that's an understatement.
Well, a solid 6 months. So I guess we're gonna just move right along to the throwback jam. So I've been running again.
Yeah,
I had my fourth day running. I'm very happy with myself of just, like, sucking it up, getting out there, like, loving my knee for supporting me when I run. So I listen to music when I run because I would die if I didn't. I would probably just stop and not really run. And so I've been listening to a lot of hip-hop and R&B from 1992. Specifically from 1992. And this song came on my playlist, like, as I was cooling down, and I just proceeded to sing as I continued to, like, as I was walking back home. And the song is Shy, If I Ever Fall in Love.
If I ever fall in love again, I will be sure
that the lady is a friend. My friend. That's what I was just like doing. I was just like literally running down the street going, my friend.
I can see it. I can see it.
Oh my god. It's such a good, again, I've been like really into the songs that just like have lots of crazy runs in it. It has all of the runs. It's very satisfying. And I did a little research on the song because I was like, I'm gonna make it my throwback jam. You know, it really wanted to be the number one song in America in 1992, but like the first week it came out, it also came out with "And I Will Always Love You." So like that never saw number one. It was just like, it just rode at number two.
Yeah.
For like 8 weeks.
It probably could have.
It probably could have. It was a good song.
But you done got beat.
Yeah, whatever. And so now we don't know what happened to Shy.
Too bad.
I'm gonna just like, you know, show how young I am and be like, do they have other songs?
Don't ask me. I was only one.
Yeah. I was a smooth 4 or 5 and oh well.
I was a whole 1 year old. That's a good throwback jam.
No, that's a good one. You know, light a candle, chill, you know, get all sexy.
Fall in love to this song.
Fall in love again. Or just have a good time belting and doing all those runs and those high notes. And being like, why don't they make like a cappella songs like this anymore?
Right. No, it's like do da 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 do da, which I don't hate, but
what was that noise? What was it?
I was doing the beat. Since you've been gone, I can't breathe for the first time.
And that's the other song I enjoy running to when I'm doing my 2000s. Playlist.
I'm so moving on. Yeah, yeah. I'm auditioning, guys. Can't you hear it?
Oh my gosh. America's an Idol.
Here I come.
You're ready.
I'm
You're ready. You gotta go see Katy Perry.
Kitty Perry.
And tell her that you wanna be a pop star just like her.
I wanna be a pop star, Katy Perry. Yeah, I don't want to be a pop star anything like her. But moving on, because I could go off about some Katy Perry.
Well, I mean, she's... I don't know what the white lady version of, like, becoming the worst is.
Miley Cyrus.
Well, like, she's Miley Cyrusing. But, like, you know how we say that when a black person starts saying crazy stuff, like... You know, we say that they went to the sunken place. Like, what is the sunken place for white people that decide to be...
Culture just, vultures?
No, not culture vultures.
She is a culture vulture. Like, that's what she's doing. She's just, like, losing her mind. And, like, I think the cultural appropriation, like, got her brain stems and, like, infected.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, she got infected with whatever that white virus is. Like, that makes you get that haircut, and then you, like, lose and wear black and white stripes and go crazy. Because she did it all.
The Cyrus virus. Ooh, I'm trademarking that.
The Cyrus virus? What?
Miley Cyrus?
Cyrus, yeah. But I feel like because she became both of them, she became Miley Cyrus and Robin Thicke. Like,
yeah, have you seen Katy Perry lately?
So I want to get Robin Thicke's name in there too.
Oh, I don't. He doesn't need anything else. Anyway, let's move on to Giggle.
Cackle!
Roar.
Roar.
Stop. So mine is going to be quick. My first part, I'm going to do the first part. It's going to be quick and dirty. I said last week that I started watching Dear White People on Netflix. I finished Dear White People on Netflix. This is all I got to say. It was good. It could have been better. Sam really sucked. Like, really bad. Like, I almost feel like how I did the first time I attempted to watch Girls. And then I watched, like, the first three episodes. I was like, maybe I would find this show more tolerable if Lena Dunham's character just wasn't fucking in it at all and it was just these other girls. And then I think I watched one more episode and I went, nope, this is just really white and I can't relate to any of this. And how do you live in New York and don't see any people of color? And I actually hate this show, never mind. I didn't go through all that ending part, but I did go through the, would I like this show better if Sam's character wasn't in it at all? And I don't think I fully processed that thought, because my knee-jerk reaction was to say, yeah, maybe, probably. But then I think she also plays an important part as the light-skinned girl, and you hating her at the end for the shitty stuff that she does. No spoilers. Though, we've all had time to watch it, but I'm not here to spoil anything, because I know it takes a while to get to TV shows. Yeah, it was good. It could have been better in some points. I in particular, like, want to see more the storyline between, I'm gonna forget his name, the student body president and his dad that, like, not even shoves, like, respectability politics are, like,
demands.
Yeah, but I don't even know how to explain. It's, like, so overbearing, but, like, overbearing feels like an understatement. Like, I want to see more of that, because I feel like that in particular storyline resonates with me. And then I also was, like, looking at Sam, and I was, like, do I do things that she does that I hate when I watch it on TV? Like, am I doing any of these things? So, like, I need to check myself and, like, mm-hmm. think about that, which I think is good and important. But, God, I still just really hate her character. So that's all I got.
And that's why I loved it, because you hate her at the end. Because you dislike her at the end, and she's set up to be, like, this hero.
She's not.
And it makes it more complicated, and that's what makes it a more complicated show. Than if she was just, you know, the hero, the leader of the Black Student Union that you wanted her to be.
Yeah.
You know, it would be a show set in 1980s than a show set in 2017. You know, it would have been a show made back then than it being a show made now.
Yeah.
So we are able to push it in that way. She was the least interesting character by far. And I was happy and she almost became like a Trojan horse for the other characters that got to be a part of it in many ways. She's almost like a Piper in that way.
Kind of, yeah.
Like a Piper from Orange is the New Black, where, you know, you thought you were going to get the show about this person's perspective, and you were going to feel a certain way about it. But then you also got a bunch of other stories, and you don't have the same feelings you thought you were going to have about her and towards the end.
At the end, you're like, thank God it wasn't all about her.
Yeah.
So, that's it.
You sort of like, you went through what white ladies went through when they watched Orange is the New Black.
I don't. I don't know. There's some shit that she did that I was like, I don't even be talking to people enough to be fucking up like that. So.
Yeah, she fucked up too much.
Yeah, I was like, I don't interact with people enough to do that. So that is not something I have done and hopefully will never do, especially after seeing you do it, because I'm like, yee, yee. Okay.
Roar time.
Roar two.
Oh my gosh. So Friday, I was trying to watch, I was kind of watching the NBA finals on Friday night. But then I looked at my Twitter and I saw that Chadwick Boseman had shared the Black Panther teaser trailer, and I cared zero fucks about that game after that. My Cleveland Cavaliers were like winning like hardcore, and I did not care because I proceeded to watch that teaser trailer a smooth 100 times. Like easily 100 times over and over again, because I wanted to overdose on melanin because it was just that great. I want to move to Wakanda. I was ready to find a boat and get on that boat in landlocked Colorado and find my ass to Wakanda.
Yeah. That,
oh my gosh.
That trailer was the most beautiful thing I've seen in years.
It was like not even a full trailer too. And like too many of the minutes are showing white people. But as soon as it stopped showing white people,
it was like melanin. Angela Bassett.
I like had forgotten that she was in it. And I was like, Angela Bassett. And like, I've been loving watching Angela Bassett's face and seeing her with that white hair. Ugh. Showing me what a brown storm could be.
Ugh. I mean, we had a brown storm.
What? Who?
Didn't
you talk about Halle Berry?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, she's brown, but like if you look at Storm historically from the comic book, she was a darker skinned woman.
Oh, yeah.
And then they went and had Halle Berry because Halle Berry was the only black actress at that time in Hollywood's world when they did the X-Men movies. And it's just sort of like, oh, if we could turn back time and let Angela Bassett be in that and be our Storm, I would actually care about the X-Men movies now.
Well, as a biracial girl.
Oh, I mean, yeah, of course, yeah.
I enjoyed seeing Halle Berry at a time when no matter how light or dark your shade, you weren't in movies like that. So let's not completely erase what Halle Berry did. But Angela Bassett as Storm would have been better than anyone on the planet.
I mean, and Angela Bassett winning Oscars would have been better than Halle Berry winning Oscars.
Like, I don't even remember what the Oscar was for Halle Berry. But anyway,
Monsters Ball.
Oh, I never saw that.
It's trash. No one cares about that movie. But you know what movie we still care about? What's Love Got to Do with It? That movie will always be iconic. And she should have won an Oscar for that.
Black Panther, I will be seeing it at midnight. I will be exhausted the whole next day, but I will be happy the whole time about it.
I'm literally picking out, like, people were, I love people on Twitter because they were picking out their outfits. of what they were going to be wearing. I am going to have a Wakandan outfit on. I don't know what it's going to be. I am cosplaying that bitch.
I want to see photos. I will not be cosplaying. Cosplaying is not my thing. I will be
cosplaying, but I want to.
Comfy PJ sweatpants. As it will be midnight, far past my bedtime.
And cold, because it's coming out in February, because that's when the movies are lit for
black people.
That's when black movies come out, apparently.
Black History Month.
I mean, yes.
All the movies come out.
I mean, and, you know, I want to know the story of Wakanda for Black History Month.
But I watched the trailer probably in the last few days over, I don't even know, man, so many times. A lot.
Just say 100. It's a fine hyperbole.
In the last few days, it's more than 100. I don't care what kind of bad guy he is. I don't care that he's the bad guy. I don't care that he's the villain. Michael B. Jordan with those locks.
I know that those lips
on
and that
his
walk.
Head. Mm. Mm. I have never been more blessed in my life. He is. Everyone in that movie is just way too fine for, like, planet Earth. Like, we should not be looking at them. We are but mere basic-ass mortals.
Yeah. Have you seen, like, one of the trailer, not trailers, like, images for the posters for the show, for the movie? And it's, like, all of the people that are in it. And so there's, like, the two white people that are in it, and it's just, like, shades of melanin, shades of black. And then, like, these two white people, because, like, Andy Serkis and one of the, like, Mary the Hobbit, he's in it, and Gollum the Hobbit is in it. Those are the two white people in it, and I love that. I love that we just have, like, the two nerdiest white guys that get to be a part of this franchise with the buffest, sexiest,
blackest
rest of the cast. I was like, Andy Serkis? Like, Gollum? Really?
What are you doing here? Shouldn't you be at Mordor?
I was like, I didn't know they let you do stuff without being in, like, a green screen. I thought you were only a CGI guy. Oh, but I cannot wait. Why do we have to wait? It's the only thing I'm looking forward to in 2018.
I haven't even thought that far ahead.
It's, like, the only thing you can be excited about, because you know what's going to still be around in 2018? Most likely 45.
Anyway.
So I have no hope for 2018. Besides, I can't wait for February 16th when my ass will be at the movies.
Yes.
And I'll see it three times. Probably.
At minimum. Minimum.
Yeah. Every other day. I will be flying to Philadelphia just to see it with you once.
Yes. Yes. Woo, woo, woo.
And if we can have the all-woman viewing of Wonder Woman, I want to go to the black viewing of
Black Panther. Hell yeah.
Because I don't need any salty
salt
child behind me.
Yeah.
You know.
Not for me.
So.
All right. That's a show.
We did it! Woo, 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 woo!
You can find us on the internet. On Twitter, at BLK Girls Laughing with no G. On Facebook, facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing. On our website, www.blackgirlslaughing.com. You can email us at blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com. And you can find us on our personal Instagrams. I'm at BEEKNIGHTLY, B Knightley.
I'm Bree Hines. Bree. Like the cheese. Hines. Like Duncan Hines.
I still don't.
Duncan Hines,
like the you freaking, tell me that like, every time, and I'm still like, I don't know who
well,
that is.
Well, you know who I am, so you we're already friends, so you ain't finding me, so it's okay if you don't get it. But let me know if you know what Duncan Hines is, the freaking cupcake motherfucker, like, where you could go with some damn frosting. We have a live show coming up. July 23rd, Sunday, 6 p.m.
Oh, my God. Ew.
What are you, oh, my God, in Illinois?
Sunday. Like, it's a freaking car sale.
Yep. So, we have a live show. You should be there. Because we'll be there, and we'll be super duper fun. And we're going to do this. What you're listening to, you can see us doing it. And the two of us are going to be in the same room, so the energy is going to be crazy, because it will be like the second day of us being happy to know each other and see each other in the flesh. Woo. But it will be, you know, months and months of pent-up friend energy. You want to be there. You want to feel that friend energy. You want to be a part of it. You want to give that friend energy a free drink. Because you were like, we love you so much. You want to slide a basket of curly fries because you love us so much.
Do it.
Or you just want to be there so we can all have hugs and be happy and laugh and cackle and roar together.
Yeah.
So, July 23rd, 6 p.m. Tattoo Moms on South Street in Philadelphia. You gotta be 21 or older. We're gonna have fun.
See you there.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye.